topic this afternoon is how to make an effective appeal. And let us turn to chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. We will continue in reading these verses, which are related. Esther 7, 1 to 6. And it reads, "So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther the second day of the banquet of wine, 'What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom.' Then Esther the queen answered and said, 'If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. And if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage.' Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, 'Who is he, and where is he that doth presume in his heart to do so?' And Esther said, 'The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman.' Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen." The Lord add his richest blessings to his word. Now, folks, when trials come to God's people, we will mourn, we will struggle. But as we learned last week, trials are an opportunity for us to rely on God, to obtain wisdom from God's word. If we have trials, then all we can do is mourn, and we don't learn to rejoice. And if we have trials, and we run away from our trials, the very lessons that God wishes to instruct us will not be learned. And you know what? Is God a gracious God? Yes. Does God love us? Yes. Does he want us to mature? Yes. Does he want us to learn that lesson? You bet. Do you think God will keep sending that trial until we learn? Absolutely. Because God loves us. And he wants us to be perfected. And the reason why many of us, even though we have been Christians for years, in character and behavior and in all manner of life, we are almost no different from what we were when we first became Christians. You see, God yearns us to bear fruit. And a fruit tree does not bear fruit when there are too many leaves. And so what does the good farmer do? He prunes the leaves, doesn't he? He prunes off the branches, that fruit may result. And so God prunes us with trials that we may produce beautiful fruits in times of adversity. Now, in our trials, God intends us to learn certain things, and sometimes it may be to learn patience, other times it may be to learn courage, and other times it may be to learn love. You know, God puts us in that position for a time like this. Now today, I want to deal with something of a practical concern. You know, when we go through trials, and invariably, you know, almost every trial you go through, you will deal with people, right? Unless you live in the Antarctica and you only see penguins, you know, you'll always deal with people. Wherever you are, you'll deal with people. For example, in financial trials, who may you have to speak to? The loan officer or the bank officer, right? You have to deal with someone. In family issues, who do you have to deal with? Family members, right? You know, in illness, the doctor. In the workplace, you have to deal with the boss. You always have to deal with people. You will have to speak to people. And mind you, some of these people are difficult. Difficult people. And you know what? Maybe we are difficult. Or perhaps in the heat of the moment, right, you're the one who causes problems. But God sees every trial as an opportunity for us to learn how to speak with meekness, with self-control, with wisdom, with right timing, with right preparation. And this is especially true in making an appeal. You know, God may place us, as he did with Esther, in a position where we may need to make an appeal. Now, there's a person who is in authority over you, your boss, perhaps, and he may not have all the information that he needs to make a decision, but God is calling you to be a good counselor. So we want to take a look here concerning how Esther made an appeal to the king. And there are three points we can learn from this passage. Firstly, appeals require spiritual preparation. Secondly, appeals require right attitude. And thirdly, appeals require wise execution. Now folks, one of the most basic rules in Bible interpretation is that you cannot construct a system of doctrine from a narrative. Okay? So you can't look at a narrative and construct a system of doctrine, but you can use narratives to illustrate doctrines that you find elsewhere in the Bible. Alright? And here, we find in this narrative an illustration how Esther behaved. And we find this a good illustration of principles of communication that you find in other portions of the Bible. Now here, when Esther learned about the tasks that she was required to do, we learned that she was afraid. And the reason why she was afraid was because she hadn't been called by the king. To go to the king without being called, you could die. And the Persians had this system of laws that shielded the king. So she would die unless the king would raise his golden scepter out to her, right? And only then would she have his mercy and his pleasure. So would this happen? Would the king hold out his scepter to her? Esther has no way of knowing, right? And for us, we never have a way of knowing how our appeals would be received. Some people say, as many of us do, in our cowardice, no point in talking. He won't listen. How do you know? Have you prepared? Have you prayed? How do you know the person won't listen? Oh, if I go, the person will be angry with me. So, right? We fear God more, the one who destroys the soul and the body, rather than the one who destroys the body only. Right? So, there has to be biblical understanding, biblical knowledge, and that bolsters us. Esther herself said, if I perish, I perish. But she would go and talk. Of course, it seemed impossible in her case. Why? She had not been called for 30 days. Right? What does this show? It shows that the king did not miss her. Esther? Who's Esther? 30 days. Right? He didn't miss her. And maybe it could show that he was even tired of her. Now, secondly, she, as his wife, if she were to go and disobey, appear in his presence, what would happen? Historically, what did the king do to a disobedient wife? Vashti, you remember that, right? He deposed her because she did not listen. And thirdly, he was, of course, a very ungodly man. Very ungodly man. When Haman came with the proposal, the king said, take my ring, do whatever you want, destroy this whole people in my kingdom. So for her, she had to tread very carefully. She had to prepare herself for an appeal. This is because appeals take preparation. That's the first point. Now, in chapter 4, verse 16, we learn that this is what she said to Mordecai. She said, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So here, her preparation was spiritual. She called a fast. You know, and as we discussed last time, fasting is always accompanied by what? Prayer. So she fasted and she prayed. She herself said, I am going to fast. My maidens too. Now there are two things here to notice. Firstly, she did not ask Mordecai or the people for advice. She did not ask, tell me what to do. How should I approach the king? She did not do that. She did not ask for advice. Rather, she was seeking God's counsel. You know, when we're doing, about to do things which are difficult, how many of us firstly brainstorm, scheme? Say, okay, this is how I'm going to approach it. And then after that, we have to pray. And we rubber stamp our decision by prayer. We do that, don't we? How many of us would firstly go, I have no idea what to do. Let me seek God in prayer first. And that's what Esther did. Now the second thing to notice here is that she was not asking the people to pray or fast for the king. Pray that the king will receive me. She didn't say that. She was asking them to pray for her. Right? Pray for her. Fast ye for me. That's what she said. She was the one who needed the plan. She was the one who needed wisdom. She was the one who needed courage to approach the king. You know, oftentimes when we go through trials, what do we say? So-and-so needs the change. How come so-and-so is like this? They need work. But don't we also? We need work done on us. You know, just to let you know how judgmental my wife and I are, right? Sometimes we'll watch TV and, you know, we'll say, oh, that person needs a nose job. Yeah, that person needs a diet. Oh, wait. Yeah. You know, so we can be judgmental. But who needs to change first? We do. We need to change first. The focus must be on ourselves. We need to change. We need to get wisdom. Now, prayer, to say the least, you know, is important when we speak to others, when we make appeals. You know, if we rely on our own wisdom, we're certainly most bound to fail. You know, no matter how much we scheme, how much we politic, without God's help, we won't succeed. You know, God says, if you want to turn to the passage, it's in Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8, the psalmist says, and God says, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So if we don't pray for guidance, we won't have guidance. And we see here that the fasting was earnest. You know, Esther was serious about her task. She was very serious. She told them to fast. How many days, how many nights? 3 nights. All right, 3 days, 3 nights. You know, folks, there are times, you know, that when trials confront us, that we may need to spend more time in earnest prayer. And we're even reminded by the Lord that sometimes special spiritual battles require more prayer. You remember the disciples and Jesus were casting out demons, and there was especially one that was really tenacious. Then they asked, Why does this not go out? And what did Jesus say? This one does not go out but by prayer and fasting. And so to all those who are involved in exorcism, that's foolish. What's more powerful than exorcism? Fasting and prayer. Right? Fasting and prayer. Now, what is fasting? I took great lengths to find this quote. J.I. Packer said, we tend to think of fasting as going without food, but we can fast from anything. If we love music and decide to miss a concert in order to spend time with God, that is fasting. It is helpful to think of the parallel of human friendship. When friends need to be together, they will cancel everything else so that they can be together. There's nothing magical about fasting. Okay? There's nothing magical about not eating, except you lose some weight, right? But it is just one way of telling God that your priority at the moment is to be alone with Him, sorting out whatever is necessary. Yeah, sometimes we take time from work. We, quote-unquote, fast from work because we know that there's something important that we need to do, and we spend time in prayer. So to sort out whatever is necessary, J.I. Packer says, you have canceled the meal, the party, the concert, or whatever else you had planned to do in order to fulfill that priority. Now all this fasting and prayer that Esther did showed her sincerity, showed that she had a right attitude, because appeals require right attitudes. Now that's the second point. Now here, when she asked for prayer and being bold to confront the king, she required an attitude that many find difficult to have. And what attitude is that? That's the attitude of surrender. You know, when we are confronted with difficult situations, what do we oftentimes do? We shy away. We run away. I don't want to deal with it. Right? We become the proverbial, you know, monkey. See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. We don't want to deal with it. We become like the proverbial ostrich who puts his head in the ground. Now, ostriches don't do that, but, you know, that's the proverbial ostrich. Does not want to see, right? Wants life to continue, right? And that's it. But what is required is an attitude of surrender. You know, one reason why conflicts at home, in extended families, with family feuds, or even at church, why they drag on for so long is because no one talks about it. We either shout at one another, or we remain quiet and have a cold war. Or what do people do? Problem at work? Easiest thing is to find another job. Quit. Right? Because people don't want to confront the situation. You know, I've seen so many times in ministries, in the church, people have problems. And what do? Resign from the ministry. The going gets tough, resign. Right? Don't want to do anymore. Right? It happens all the time. Rather than confronting the situation and dealing with it in boldness. You know, how many times in our times of adversity do we find ourselves unwilling to surrender to God to do the very thing that He wants us to do? Esther, she surrendered to God. She displayed this attitude in verse 16. If I perish, I perish. She showed that she was willing to do what God wanted her to do instead of running away or keeping quiet. She was willing to play her part, whatever the outcome would be. Now, one thing that we notice here is that in her surrender, she would fast 3 days and three nights. Now, why is this important? Imagine, if you're going to fast for 3 days and three nights, and the fast here literally means fast for food, what do you think your countenance would look like? Hungry, tired, haggard, weak. Do you want to go in that condition to the king? King. Right, that would almost be certain death. I mean, why did Daniel or the eunuch in charge of Daniel try to persuade Daniel to eat the good food? So that the countenance would be good. But what did Daniel do? He ate pulses, he ate all these things. And at the end, because of the Lord's blessing, what did we learn? They looked fairer, more beautiful in countenance than all the others who had eaten the king's meat. So she prepared for 3 days and three nights. Right? Martin Luther was, famous for the amount of work that he did. You know, Martin Luther would probably put, 90% of the pastors to shame today, because he was a very hardworking pastor. And he had so many people that he ministered to. One time he was having a haircut. His barber, Master Peter, was cutting his hair, and he asked, Martin, what is prayer? So Martin thought about it for a while. He says, I'll let you know after you cut my hair. So after cutting his hair, Martin Luther went back home and he wrote a paper on prayer. 22 pages. If I were to give you 22 pages to read on prayer, you'd be like, thank you. I'd give you the bulletin, which is, half an A4 size. Probably half of you don't even read it. Confess. Right? Right? But he had 22 pages on prayer for his barber, and in this work, Luther revealed why he was able to do so much. It was through prayer. Now, one of the things that he wrote was, I have so much to do today that I should spend the first 3 hours in prayer. What do we do? We have so many things to do. Today's prayer will be short. 1 minute. 10 seconds. And that's it. Right? That's what human wisdom dictates we do. But God's wisdom teaches us that when we surrender, when we do what He wants, then we will pray and then we will do. So will we surrender to God in our trials to do the things that He asks us? Will we pray until our hearts are changed? I think that's important. You know why? Because in trials we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what we want to do. And you know, we are very wise. We have a way of justifying it from the Bible. But will we pray until our hearts are changed? And this, remember this, this was the agonizing prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was there for hours, and he prayed until he said, in the beginning it was, take this cup from me. And he prayed until he said, not my will, but thine be done. So Esther had a right attitude. And she also had a right attitude when she made her appeal to the king. She had a right attitude. He may have been ungodly, but he was still an authority over her. And the attitude that she had was that of submission. Now we see in Esther 5 verse 4 these words. If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. In other words, if it pleases the king. She deferred to the king. Again, we see this in verse 8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, if it please the king. Right? So her deference is, if I have found favor. There was a willingness to submit herself. Right? There was a willingness to see him and to give him the honor that he was due. And what did she say in verse 8? Let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. King, if it please you, if it seems good to you, can I invite you? If you're okay with it, I'll do everything that you want me to. Why? You are the king. There was that willingness to submit. And you know, we read chapter 7, the first 6 verses, but in verse 4, we see that her appeal was for the sake of the king. Right? But what does it say in verse 4? It says, at the end, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Why was she making this appeal? Because if she had not, and all the Jews were massacred, the king would experience damage. The king would experience damage. It would not be good for the king. So from her words here, she showed that she had deference for her king. You know, folks, are we like that? Husbands and wives quarrel, right? You're always like that. No, you're always like that. Right? Whereas, dear, I may be wrong, but, you know, I might be very sinful when I say this, and I should have said it earlier on, and, you know, and I did not say it in a very nice way. Would you forgive me? Wow, Christians must be very good at caveats, right? And then we make the appeal. But what is it that we often do? We come from a position of hurt and authority, you know, and demand. But Esther was different. You know, this, she was coming from a place of service. Husbands don't have to, you know, take the hard road. Wives don't have to nag. Employers don't have to demand. Parents don't have to bear down and provoke. Children don't have to throw tantrums. All we need to learn is to serve. We learn to serve. It's not a battle of wills. That's why, what did Jesus say? do good to your enemies. And when you do good to your enemies, it'll heap coals of fire upon the head to melt their coldness. So an appeal requires a right attitude. Now, having prepared herself through prayer and fasting, having surrendered to the Lord, here she was ready to carry out the appeal. And she executed the appeal wisely. I suppose there's much we can learn practically from Esther here, you know, and of course nothing that we can't learn from other portions of the Bible. But we see here that she did three practical things. Firstly, she put on her royal apparel, and she invited the king to a banquet. Now, this tells us that she was using all the resources at her disposal. And basically, as queen, she had two resources. What were they? Beauty and hospitality. Her beauty and her hospitality. We're not saying that she had no brains, but she had her beauty with her. She had hospitality. And she was using these things to make the appeal. And you know, one thing that we can learn here, you know, is to be more appealing to those that we're appealing to. I think that's important, don't you think? And there's practical wisdom here. God has given us talents, resources. You know, He has given us abilities to make our appeals more effective. Now the second thing is there was correct timing. So here she invited the king and Haman. She did not reveal her request yet. Then after that she invited them for a second banquet, and only then did she reveal it. You know, some might say, you know, Mark, you're inconsistent. You talk against politicking and scheming, and here maybe Esther is doing that. You know, she's looking for the right timing. She's, you know, well, in that one sense, you know, we need to know that how we do something is important, right? You know, you don't go talk to your boss when he's angry, correct? Yeah, you know, that's what it is. You know, sometimes waiting is necessary, and sometimes we're so impatient. Thirdly, and more importantly, she was wise in her delivery of her appeal. It was clear. It was expressed boldly. I don't know whether it's sometimes our culture, and many of us here are Asian, we don't like to speak plainly, right? We like to speak implicitly. Maybe he'll get it. You know, it's like being very Japanese. You invite someone, you know, a Japanese person to your house for dinner. Oh, would you like to come to my house for dinner? And if the person says yes, then you know it's yes. But if the person goes, well, then you're supposed to know that the person's answer is no. Right, that's a very Japanese thing, right? Some of us are very implicit in the way we hint, and we hope the person gets the idea. We don't say things forthrightly, you know, or perhaps when we say things forthrightly, we are too offensive. You know, ultimately, our appeals belong to the Lord. They're in the hands of the Lord. The opportunity is also in the hands of the Lord. We surrender, we submit, we pray and fast, but it's the Lord that brings it to pass. You know, He was the one who caused the king to be favorable to receiving Esther. He hadn't seen her for 30 days, but yet he was favorable. And he was so intrigued why she had come to him that he said, anything you ask, even to half of the kingdom, I'll give it to you. I don't think he was sincere, but you know. But it was God who had caused the king to be in this manner to receive her appeal. But having said all that, we're all responsible, aren't we? We're all responsible. Perhaps God is calling you in your trial to speak to someone. And if He is, you have to speak. Perhaps He's commanding you. You don't delay. But be like Esther, who surrendered. Prepare. Check the attitude, whether it is submissive. Plan well. Plan wisely. And speak words which are clear. Some practical lessons we can garner from the book of Esther. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Your word is not merely profitable for doctrine, but it is profitable as rule for faith and life. Father, we pray that we would learn from not only the example of Esther, but especially from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect in all of his dealings with men and his dealings with God. And so, Father, we pray that as his children, that we would be obedient. And should there be anything that you are calling us to do in making an appeal, that we should do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.